So this morning we are continuing to share the message from the PASA International Chinese Speaking Conference. We will have Brother Moses Chu to share first. After his sharing, he came to live to New York. So he will be with us for 1 hour. Amen. So praise the Lord. We ask Moses Chu to emphasize on message 4 this morning. So could you read the title for message 4 together now? Amen.
Message 4, the supply of the body. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What joy and what blessing. Amen. Amen. The cup of blessing that we bless. Amen. Is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? Amen. What an enjoyment this morning as we gather together here at the Lord's table. I think last night in the message we mentioned that the Lord's table is sometimes also referred to as the Lord's supper. Of course, the Lord's table is his supper. But these two have slightly different denotations. When we say we come to the Lord's table, it is mainly for our enjoyment. But when we say it's the Lord's supper, as Brother Nee pointed out, it is mainly for the Lord's enjoyment. So at this table, which is also the Lord's supper, we are here to enjoy the Lord, enjoy him as our full satisfaction. But in our enjoyment, the Lord has his enjoyment. And this is his supper for his enjoyment and for his satisfaction. This weekend, we are on this matter of the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ, and even more, the living in the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. As we gather together here, we are displaying this reality to the universe. Even though we are many, we are one. Just like the members of the body, there are many members, but the body is one. And I understand that even in this meeting, this morning, we are not just one local church. There are a number of churches represented or gathering together here. And we testify that we break of this one bread. Even though the churches are many, we are one body. We are the unique body of Christ. We are testifying to the universe that this Christ, the one who fills all in all, is the head of his unique body. And we are the expression of this universal body of Christ all over the earth. So as we gather here to praise him, to remember him, to enjoy him at his table, oh, we have the inner registration that the Lord is also enjoying us. He is also enjoying this testimony. This is according to his heart's desire. You know, the Lord is looking for this very thing out of his heart's desire. The Lord says, I come quickly. But it seems that it has been 2,000 years. He hasn't come. Why? Because he is waiting for this. He is coming for his bride. Amen. And in order for his bride to be made ready, his body needs to be built up. That is why in the Lord's recovery, we really have the Lord's mercy that through our brothers, through the ministry of the age, we have been shown or we have been led to this matter of the reality of the body of Christ. Both brothers, Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, their ministry climaxes or culminates at this point, the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ. That is why we will never be tired of speaking and speaking and speaking on the body of Christ. It's not just a matter of doctrine, it's not just a matter of truth. What we are looking for is the reality of the body of Christ. Because this is the Lord's own heart's desire. This is what he is longing for. Amen. And I mentioned last night that Brother Ron said during this conference, the Lord need every one of us to pray this particular prayer. Lord, cause the desire of your heart to become the desire of my heart. How about if we pray this? Amen. Lord, of your heart to become the desire of my heart. So these messages are indeed out of the desire of God's heart. He is desiring the body of Christ. He is desiring the reality of the body of Christ. So our dear Brother Lee, in 1994, out of this desire of God's heart, he is also crying out. Today, we have so many local churches, but where is the reality of the body of Christ? That is why we need this speaking again and again and again. Because we need the reality to increase among us so that the Lord can come back. So in these five messages, the first three we covered last night, and this morning we'll cover messages 4 and 5, is on the living in the reality of the body of Christ by keeping the principles of the body. Amen. In message 1, yesterday, we saw what the reality of the body of Christ is. This reality of the body of Christ is the high peak of God's economy. This high peak revelation needs to become our vision, our controlling vision. Oh, brothers and sisters, what are we here for? Amen. What are you here for? Reality of the body of Christ. Oh, all of us should be able to declare before the Lord, Lord, thank you for creating me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for regenerating me. But what is the purpose of all of this? All of these good things that you have done to me is for the reality of the body of Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is what we are here for. We are here for the reality of the body of Christ. This is our vision. This is our controlling vision. And we see this reality is none other than the triune God himself. Because in the universe, only the triune God is a reality, or even the reality. Apart from the triune God, everything is just vanity of vanities. And thank the Lord that the triune God passed through all the processes and he has been consummated as the spirit of reality. So the triune God as the unique reality in the universe has become the spirit of reality. And this spirit of reality, as the Lord says in John 14, will guide us into all the reality. So what is all the reality? All the reality is just the triune God himself. Not just the triune God himself, but the triune God embodied in Jesus Christ, expressed in the God-man Jesus Christ. So Ephesians 4 tells us that there is a reality called the reality that is in Jesus, which is what? Which is just the condition of Jesus living while he was on earth, as recorded in the four Gospels. So, the triune God embodied in Jesus, the first God-man in the universe. He lived a life that is a reality. And the spirit of reality is transmitting this reality in Jesus into every single one of us. Oh, we are redeemed, we are regenerated in order that we can live this life. We can receive this dispensing and become duplicates, reproduction of this reality which is in Jesus. So he is a God-man. He lived a life of divinity mingled with humanity. And this is all together in the spirit of reality being dispensed into us, into every regenerated one. And it is not just an individual matter. This dispensing of the triune God, this dispensing of the spirit of reality, this dispensing of the reality which is in Jesus into us, is altogether that we may live a corporate life. Jesus is the first God-man. But today, what God wants as the body of Christ is a corporate God-man. We have been regenerated to become parts of this God-man. And we are here living on this earth, a life that is the corporate God-man living. A life that is the union and mingling of divinity with humanity. Amen. So day after day, we are enjoying this dispensing. We are being constituted by the spirit of reality. And we live together this corporate life. Amen. And the life of Jesus, the living of Jesus, or the reality which is in Jesus, on the one hand, is the union and mingling of divinity with humanity. On the other hand, is a life that is under the shadow of the cross. So, in this God-man living, we are experiencing the conformity to the death of Christ. Amen. So, this is the reality of the body of Christ. It's not just a vision. It is a person, a living person that lives on this earth, and a living person that has become the spirit of reality, dispensing himself into us, so that we live together, corporately, this God-man living. And in this living, we are conformed to the death of Christ. Amen. And so, what is the secret, the key to this corporate God-man life? It's our mingled spirit. Because the spirit of reality is mingled with our regenerated spirit. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Praise the Lord for the one spirit. So the reality of the body of Christ is this living in the mingled spirit. Thank the Lord for these, we might say, definitions of the reality of the body of Christ. So during the conference, not only are we shown these definitions concerning the body of Christ, the reality of the body of Christ, we are also shown the principles of the body of Christ. And we said, the body of Christ is not an organization. The body of Christ is the organism of the triune God. Just like our human body is not an organization. Our human body, consisting of so many members, are just one living organism. So when we say the principles of the body, it's not some outward rules or regulations that we have to follow. Rather, these principles are life principles. These are laws of life. So, starting yesterday, we covered messages 2 and 3. This morning, we'll go on with message 4 and message 5. And in these messages, we are shown the principles. These are organic principles concerning the body of Christ. We have this desire that the Lord will gain more and more of the reality of the body of Christ so that he can come back. But how do we know if we have this reality? So we can check against all these life principles, these organic principles, to see how much reality we have of the body of Christ. In message 2 yesterday, we are shown 2 principles, right? The first principle is that the body is one. The oneness of the body. So, do we have the reality of the body of Christ? We can check against this principle, which is how much we are one. Do we have the genuine oneness? Of course, we know this oneness is the oneness of the body. This oneness is the oneness of the spirit. So, this is the first principle. The second principle is that the function of the body of Christ is what? To express Christ. So, we can look at our church life, our Christian life, or a local church. How much is there the function of the body? Which means, how much is there the expression of Christ? Even though we are living in different localities, we are having a church life, we do many different things, but all of these are for this function, the expression of Christ. Amen. Brothers, sisters, while we are coming together, arranging the chairs, cleaning the hall, what is it for? What is the function of it? It's for the expression of Christ. Mowing the lawn is different from the worldly people doing the same thing, because in this that we are doing, we have the expression of Christ. Amen. Of course, preaching the gospel, shepherding the new ones, prophesying in the meetings, all of these are the function of the body of Christ. While we are functioning as the members of the body of Christ, we are expressing Christ. Amen. Isn't it true that when we come together in a church meeting and each one of us prophesy, each one of us exhibit Christ, then any new one, outsiders, they come in, they will say, oh, what? God is among you. Amen. This is the expression of Christ. This is the function of the body, which is to express Christ. So the more we express Christ, the more we have of the reality of the body of Christ. And then message three, last night, we shared two more principles. Number one is what? The experiencing the work of the cross for the body and in the body. Amen. The cross is the central item in God's work. You know, God in the universe, he deals with all the negative problems by means of the cross of Christ. And this cross of Christ is not just a historical event. Rather, we have the work of the Spirit of the cross. Because Christ's crucifixion, Christ's offering of himself on the cross was carried out through the eternal Spirit. So we have the work of the cross, which is eternal. We have the work of the cross, the operating of the cross, which is continually going on in us. For us to have the reality of the body of Christ, we need to have day after day the experience of this working of the cross of Christ in us. Amen. And then what's the next one? The fellowship of the body of Christ. When we experience the crossing out, when we experience the terminating, the eliminating work of the cross, then we are brought under the headship of Christ. And spontaneously, we enjoy the anointing of the Spirit. And spontaneously, we are ushered into the fellowship of the body of Christ, which may be likened to the circulation in our physical body. Oh, brothers and sisters, how about the circulation in you? Amen. Not just the physical body circulation. How are we enjoying the circulation in the body of Christ? Amen. This morning, as we come here, oh, we are not stagnant. We are enjoying a kind of circulation. We are enjoying a kind of a stream of life, flow of life. Brothers and sisters, well, whether we are sitting in the front or in the back, can we all testify to this fact that there is a flow of life among us? Amen. Amen. Our triune God is a flowing triune God. Amen. And in the body of Christ, we are enjoying this unique flow of life, which is the unique fellowship of the body of Christ. Amen. So this morning, we come to message four. As the title depicts, there are three principles: the supply of the body, the members of the body, and the limitation of the body. Amen. Concerning the supply of the body, Roman numeral 1, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The supply of the body. Amen. So you need to check how much reality you have, how much reality you are enjoying in the body of Christ by looking at whether you are enjoying the supply of the body. Concerning the supply of the body, the verse here, the most important verse, is Philippians 1:19. I think it's very familiar to all of us. Paul says, "For I know that for me this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." So what is the supply of the body? The supply of the body is the supply or the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, typified by the compound ointment, the holy anointing oil. It's so blessed that we in the Lost Recovery, through the ministry of the age, have been shown this truth concerning the Spirit of Jesus Christ, even the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We know the Spirit of God is one, but it has passed through the processes. So in Genesis, you have the Spirit of God operating in creation. But then at the beginning of the New Testament, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is coming into man for the incarnation of Christ, right? The Holy Spirit is doing a sanctifying work so that humanity may be joined to divinity, or divinity might enter into humanity. But it does not stop there. So you have the Spirit of God in the Old Testament, you have the Holy Spirit at the beginning of the four Gospels, and then the conception of Jesus. So you have the Spirit of Jesus, which emphasizes the humanity of Jesus and the human living that he passed through. And of course, because he put on this humanity, he can accomplish redemption for us on the cross. So when we say the Spirit of Jesus, we are emphasizing the humanity aspect, the humanity, the human living, and even the redemption that he accomplished in his humanity for us. But this Christ, not only did he die on the cross, he was resurrected. So not only do we have the Spirit of Jesus, we have the Spirit of Christ. When we talk about Christ, it's mainly concerning the resurrected one. Not only is he the crucified Jesus, he is the resurrected Christ. So you have the Spirit of Jesus, you have the Spirit of Christ, and here Paul says, he puts these two together. He says, "I have the Spirit of Jesus Christ." And the ministry of the age shows us that in Exodus 30, you have a marvelous picture, a marvelous type of this Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's a compound spirit. Not just the Spirit of Jesus, not just the Spirit of Christ, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Just like in Exodus 30, you have the compound ointment, right? What are the constituents? What are the ingredients of this compound ointment? Of course, the base element is the one hin of olive oil, which typifies the Spirit of God, typifies divinity. But into this olive oil has been added the four ingredients, right? What are those four ingredients? You have the flowing myrrh, you have the fragrant cinnamon, and then you have the fragrant calamus, and then also the cassia. These four spices added to the olive oil. The number four stands for the creatures, right? So this number four, these four spices refer to the humanity of Jesus Christ. And also, we know the flowing myrrh is used for burial. So it typifies the preciousness of Christ's death. In this universe, the human death is terrible. Nobody wants that. But there is one death that is so precious, typified by the flowing myrrh. It is the precious death of Christ. And then cinnamon refers or typifies the effectiveness of the death of Christ. Sisters would like to use a lot of cinnamon in their cooking. So cinnamon is so sweet. The death of Christ is so sweet. The effectiveness of the death of Christ is so precious to us. So last night we talked about the working of the cross. This work of the cross is just in this compound spirit, as the flowing myrrh, as the cinnamon. We cannot die by ourselves. We cannot terminate all the flesh, the self, the natural life in us. But we just enjoy this spirit. We enjoy this flowing myrrh. We enjoy this cinnamon. What's more, you have calamus, which is a reed that shoots out, grows upwards, out of the marshy, the muddy ground. So what is this? This is the resurrection of Christ. And then the cassia. The cassia in ancient times is used as a repellent for insects and snakes. What are insects and snakes? Satan, demons. Amen. Saints, oftentimes we find ourselves in muddy, marshy conditions. We cannot rescue ourselves. What should we do? Oh, Lord Jesus. We just, amen. Let the calamus grow. Shoot up out of our environment. We just enjoy the resurrection of Christ, right? Oftentimes, even maybe before this meeting, on your way here, you are bothered by snakes, insects. Not the physical ones, but the spiritual ones. What should we do? We just enjoy the cashier. Oh, so this is the bountiful supply of Jesus Christ. And in Philippians 1:19, this word bountiful supply, the Greek word actually refers to the choragus. You know, at that time, you have those choirs. As soon as you join the choir, then the choir leader, the choragus, takes care of everything. You don't have to bother about what to eat, what about my dressing, where to live, whatever. You just join the choir. And in the light of this message, I would say, what is this choir? Huh? I think I heard something. The body! As soon as you are in the body, you enjoy the bountiful supply of Jesus Christ, which is this compound spirit with all of these rich elements, divinity, humanity, death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and the resurrecting power of Christ. Amen. This is the bountiful supply of Jesus Christ. And this is also the supply of the body. Okay, the question is, how do we know that the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the supply of the body? Yeah. Bradley points out in the life studies that we have to notice the way Paul uttered his statement. Before talking about the bountiful supply, what did he say? He said, this shall turn out to salvation through what? Through your petition. He did not put the bountiful supply as the first item. Rather, he puts your petition. Amen. Amen. That means if there is no petition of the saints, there is no bountiful supply of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is true that the Lord passed through all the processes. It's true that his death, his resurrection, is all incorporated as the ingredients of this bountiful spirit. But how do we experience this supply? How do we apply this? We need the petition of the saints. That is Paul's testimony. Earlier in that same chapter, he said that whether it be in my bonds or in my confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of my grace. Paul is enjoying a kind of grace that is partaken of, not just by himself, but by all the saints. Whether it be in his bonds or in his confirmation of the gospel. So when Paul wrote this verse, he was physically away from the saints because he was in his imprisonment. But through the petition of the saints, he had the realization that he is not isolated from the body. Rather, he is in the reality of the body. Even though physically, geographically, he has been kept away from the other members. But in reality, he is enjoying the supply of the body. That is why he says, through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to see the supply of the body, which is the supply, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. But this bountiful Spirit is not just for our individual enjoyment. This bountiful supply comes to us when we are in the body. Amen. Amen. Even the typology in Exodus 30 shows us the same thing. Because Jehovah directed Moses concerning the compounding of this ointment. Then he went on to say, where is this ointment to be applied on? Exodus 30. Okay, let's read capital A. The compound spirit is in and for the body and for the priestly service that builds up the body. Here you have the references, Exodus 30, verses 26 through 31. Here it says, you shall anoint with it, with this compound ointment, the tent of meeting and all the utensils. So this compound ointment is applied on the tent of meeting. This is number one. Number two, verse 30 says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them that they may serve me as priests. So in other words, according to this typology, this compound ointment is applied on the tent of meeting. It's also applied on the priesthood. Amen. Amen. That is why we say this bountiful supply is in the body and is for the body and for the priestly service that builds up the body. Isn't this our experience, brothers and sisters? Yes, it's true that the Lord has been consummated as a spirit. It's true that this spirit is mingled with our regenerated spirit to become one spirit with us. But why is it that sometimes we do not experience that much of this bountiful supply? Why is it that sometimes this supply seems to be limited in us? It's because we might have a problem with the church. We might refuse to participate in the priestly service, in the service of the church. Amen. The holy ointment, the compound ointment, is to be applied only on the tent of meeting. So as soon as we are one with the church, one with the body of Christ, spontaneously we enjoy the bountiful supply. Amen. On the other hand, if we have some problem with the brothers and sisters, some problem with the body, some problem with the church, right away we are cut off from the anointing. We are cut off from the bountiful supply. So, praise the Lord, in the New Testament, we, as the body of Christ, we are the tent of meeting. And also, 1 Peter chapter 2 shows us that we are the priesthood. We are the serving priests. We are the holy priesthood. We are the royal priesthood. So, brothers and sisters, to enjoy the bountiful supply of Jesus Christ, we need to be in the church. And we need to be in the church service as the priestly service. Amen. B says, Psalm 133, that is a marvelous picture, right? Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It is like the fine oil upon the head of Aaron that ran down the beard and ran down upon the hem of his garments. Amen. We know this ointment, this oil, this fine oil, this precious oil is upon the head of Aaron and it flows down to the entire body. And Psalm 133, you know, is one of the psalms or songs of ascents, right? It's an ascending song that the children of Israel sang when they go up to Jerusalem, when they go up to Zion, right, to demonstrate, to exhibit the oneness among the people of God. So this morning, as we are coming here, aren't we singing Psalm 133? Amen. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is. You know, when we are in the oneness, when we are in the body, spontaneously we enjoy this ointment which is upon the head of Aaron that flows down to all the rest of the body. Amen. Bernie says that this psalm is the key passage in the Old Testament concerning the anointing. The children of Israel, no matter what their background is, whenever they come together to the feast, right, they are going up, they are ascending, they are singing these songs of ascents. They are not talking about economics, about education, about warfare, about politics. No. They are just having this heart toward God, having this heart toward Zion. Amen. And maybe before they come, they have hatred among them. They have strifes. They have jealousy among them. There is disharmony among them. But while they are going up to Zion, while they are singing this psalm, they are singing this song, they have what? Cast aside all the differences, all the discord, all the jealousy, all the hatred among them, so that they sing, "Oh, behold, how good and pleasant it is." Brothers and sisters, this is the supply of the body of Christ. The key to experience the holy ointment is to be in the oneness of the body of Christ. Amen. C is a more practical point. Let's read together, capital C. We receive Amen. So, positionally or experientially, if you are in the oneness of the body of Christ, you will experience the anointing. But here is a more practical point. In our church life, how do we enjoy the oneness? How do we know that we are in the oneness? We need to have the intercession and fellowship of the members. Small one says, when we are dry, have no way to go on, what do we need? Other brothers and sisters to intercede for us before we can get through. Even Brother Nee himself, he testified. He said at one time he was sick for 176 days. And it seems that all of his prayers were to no avail. The Lord did not heal him. And then one day he asked a brother whom he did not think too highly of. That means this brother is nobody. But as soon as he asked this brother to pray for him, he experienced the Lord's healing. Amen. So we need the intercession of the members of the body. Amen. We need to pray for each other, for us to be in the oneness of the body of Christ. The brothers quoted some precious verses here. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. You know, the church of the Thessalonians, right? The church in Thessalonica is a church of newly saved ones, right? After 3 weeks of the Paul's ministry, it was built up. So all of these brothers and sisters are new ones. But, you know, in chapter 5, Paul says, brothers, pray also for us. Amen. Amen. Even though the new believers, we need their prayer. You know, in the church life, we are encouraged to go out to preach the gospel, to shepherd the saints. Isn't it our experience? When you shepherd the new ones, they also pray for you. And you enjoy the bountiful supply. Amen. So we have to learn this secret. Sometimes you feel you are so down, you are so weak, even though you have been saved for decades, even though you have been in church life, you have heard all these things, you are still so down. What should you do? Go shepherd someone and say, brothers, pray also for us. Oh, I have experienced this 1,000 times. Amen. In myself, I feel, oh, everything is not okay. But just shepherd someone. Shepherd a new one. And ask him to pray for you. Oh, we experience this bountiful supply through the intercession and fellowship of the members. Job 42:8-10. I want to point out verse 10. It says, Jehovah turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You know, Job was under this stripping, this difficult experience. And his friends came to him and they talk, all the vain talks. But Lee once says, if they were a vital group, it's not vital at all. There is no life. It's just human reasoning, natural concepts. But eventually God came in, right? God subdued them. And Job can testify that, now I have seen you. And then at the end of the book, it says, Jehovah turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. It's not that after Jehovah turned him from captivity that he prayed. It's when he prayed that Jehovah turned his captivity. Oh, oftentimes we find ourselves to be in captivity. What should we do? we should not just ask the Lord to deliver us. No, you pray for someone. When Job prayed for his friends, he experienced the deliverance from his captivity. This is the mutual intercession in the body of Christ. Let's read 2. We need to pray. Amen. Well, this statement is worth $1 million. Believe me. Because the verse reference is Luke 11. Without the ministry of the age, you could read Luke 11 for 1,000 times. You would never come up with this statement. What is Luke 11 about? Burley says in the life studies that this chapter is about praying ourselves into God. Okay. If you have your Bible or you can turn to these verses, chapter 11 says, while the Lord was in a certain place praying, and when he ceased praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. So you see the Lord Jesus as a praying person. And in the series of messages on the God-man life, God-man living, Burley pointed out the prayer of Jesus. He is a man of prayer, right? His prayer is to pray himself into God. The Lord Jesus, he did a lot of marvelous works, but he always had this time that he separated to pray into God. That is why he can testify that he does not speak out of himself. He does not seek his own will. He does not seek his own glory. Rather, whatever he speaks, whatever he does, is out of the Father. It's not him living by himself. It's the Father living out through him. And the secret to this is the Lord's praying into God. And then the disciples asked him to teach them to pray. And the Lord said, when you pray, you should say, Father, your name be sanctified, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into temptation. Well, all Christians regard this as the Lord's Prayer, something to be memorized. But Burley point out, no, you should see the essence of this prayer. This is to pray ourselves into God. Yes, we are regenerated. We are children of God. Positionally, we are in God. But if you check your experience, we are not always in God because we are distracted by many things, right? Sisters, maybe just one advertisement will distract us from God, right? Brothers, sometimes we have a problem with our wife. We are distracted from God. What should we do? We should pray this prayer. Amen. See? Burley said, one brother, maybe before you went to bed, you had a problem with your wife. So you are not in God, right? You are distracted from God. And the next morning, when you arise, you will pray, Lord, be merciful to my dear wife. Lord, vindicate me because she is wrong. Oh, Lord. Burley says, if you pray this prayer, we will be apart from God. Instead, Burley says, try to pray this. Father, sanctify your name. Father, your kingdom come. You know, this prayer is to pray us into God. Before you pray, you are outside of God. You have a problem with somebody. But when you pray yourself into the name of God. You pray yourself into God's kingdom. You pray yourself into his interest, right? You praise yourself out of your anxieties for this life. Sometimes we get up, oh, what I'm going to do? What will my boss say? Something. It's the matter of the daily bread. But when we pray ourselves into God, out of our anxieties for the daily supply, right? And then we pray for the indebtedness. Sometimes you cannot forgive your wife. But when you pray yourself into God. And you pray yourself into the forgiveness of God. Amen. And so forth. So, and also, sometimes we are in the temptation of Satan. But when we pray this prayer, we pray ourselves out of the temptation. We pray ourselves into God. Pray ourselves into his deliverance. So this is not just the so-called lost prayer. It's a prayer into God. But how does this apply to the body life? Right? Then the Lord told a story. Right? Told a story. This is a story about three persons or three parties. So may I ask three brothers and you help me, huh? In order that we can get a clearer picture of what the Lord is talking about. Okay, verse 5, the Lord said something. There are three parties. This is a person who has been traveling on a journey. So he has been traveling, and then what is the time? The time is midnight. So maybe he has been traveling all day, and now it's midnight. What is your stomach? Hungry, empty. So he came to this friend, right? And this friend, he said, I have nothing. I have nothing to set before him. It's already midnight. Open my refrigerator. It's empty. What should I do? See, oftentimes in our church life, in our shepherding of the saints, won't you have someone who is in need, who is in the midst of the midnight, and come to you for help, and you say, Lord, I have nothing. So what should he do? What should he do? Pray, huh? Yeah, he said, oh, we have another one, right? So he goes to him, asks for help, asks for supply. So what will the third party say? Here say, will he say, do not trouble me. The door is already shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise up and give you anything. The Lord posed this question. That means that's our natural concept. See, it's midnight. He is in need. I have nothing to supply. If I ask somebody, he will say, oh, it's too late. The door is shut. But then, this is not the third party. Huh? The Lord says, well, I say to you, even though he will not rise up and give you anything because he's his friend, surely because of his shameless persistence, he will rise and give him what he needs. Amen. So who is this third party? The Lord continues to say, listen to the Lord's word. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. But what father among you? Your son shall ask for a fish. And instead of fish, you give him a snake. Or if he goes ask for egg, you hand him a scorpion. Yes or no? No. Here you have a father. Actually, who this father is? The Lord says, 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is from heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So who is the third party? The Heavenly Father. And the Heavenly Father will never reject us. The only thing is that he wants us to pray. He wants us to ask with shameless persistence. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and it will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. So the Heavenly Father is always ready. He will never shut his door. He will never say it's too late. As soon as we pray ourselves into him, he is ready to give you the good things. And what are the good things? He says, it's the good things of the Holy Spirit. The Father is ready to give you the bountiful supply of Jesus Christ. But all that you need to do is to ask. All that you need to do is to pray. Prayer is not for our things. Prayer is for the good things. What are the good things? The good things are, see here you have the bread, you have the fish, and you have the egg. What is the bread? The bread. Life study tells the bread is the richest on the land, right? So what is the fish? Richest of the sea. And what is the egg? Eggs from a chicken, from a bird. It's the richest from the air and from the land. So you have all these good things, whether it be in the sea, on the land, or in the air. And all of this bountiful supply is just the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus Christ. What a bountiful supply. So we only need to ask. Never forget that in the vital group, in our shepherding of the saints in the church life, when we come across the midnight situation, when we come across the time of lack, what we should do, we just pray into God. Amen. Pray not for the circumstances to change. Pray persistently for the good things, for the Holy Spirit. These riches, air, land, and sea, are just the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is the supply in the body through the intercession and prayer. So sometimes we are this one. Sometimes we are this one, right? We need to learn to open ourselves. Don't be shy. Don't say, oh, even though I'm so hungry, but it's midnight, I shouldn't bother him. No. Right, bother him. And then he says, oh, I have nothing. What should he do? Bother the third party. He is always ready. The Heavenly Father. Amen. He has passed through all the processes, all the bountiful supply. In the Spirit, he's ready to give us this supply. Amen. So this is a picture of our body life. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Through the intercession and prayer of the members, we experience the bountiful supply. Amen. So I think we can read the rest of the outline. Number three, we cannot live without the supply of the body. We must constantly avail ourselves of the fellowship of the body. For as long as we live in the body, we will receive the supply of the body, no matter what our condition is, no matter what time it is, no matter it's midnight or not. We just need to receive the supply of the body. If a man wants to see light, he has to enter the church's sanctuary. The psalmist, Psalm 73, he was in such a difficult condition. He cannot understand why the wicked people prosper and why he suffers so much. He had no answer to his questions. But then he testified, I consider this, it was troublesome. But until I went into the sanctuary of God. What is the sanctuary of God? On the one hand, it depicts our spirit, the Holy of Holies. On the other hand, it's the church life. Right? The sanctuary of God. It's the body of Christ. As soon as you enter into the body of Christ, you see light. And you get the solution to all of your questions, no matter what these are. Amen. So, to see light, where should we go? Enter into the sanctuary. Amen. Into the realm of the body of Christ. Six, the whole body is built up through interdependence among the members. So, we come to the next principle, which is the member of the body. We have seen this prayer, this intercession. But the principle is that we have to see ourselves as members of the body. We are not just saved as Christians. A matter, being a Christian may be an individual matter, but being a member is a corporate matter. Amen. So, one important characteristic of a member is that there should be no independence or individualism. Consider our human body. Which member can be independent from the body? Which member can be individualistic? None. A member that is independent, dead, right? Individualistic, dead. No matter how strong you are, the arm is very strong. But if he seeks independence from the body, right away, dies. So we had to see that we are members and we cannot live in detachment from the body. A, every believer is a member of the body of Christ and every member is indispensable. Oh, brothers and sisters, are you indispensable? Oh, don't say that, oh, I'm so weak, I'm so new, I know nothing. No, you are a member of the body of Christ. The moment you are saved, you become a member of the body of Christ. Right? 1 Corinthians 12 says, the foot cannot say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. The foot is so low, so ugly. But the foot cannot say, I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body. No matter how low you are, how ugly you consider yourself, you cannot be detached from the body. On the other hand, the eye is so high, right? Cannot say to the hand is low, I have no need of you. Right? So there are two wrong concepts, Rennie says. One is to despise yourself. One is to be too proud of yourself, thinking that you are all-inclusive. You do not need the others. So we need to see this principle of being members of the body. Oh, we should be able to say to each other, brother, I am indispensable, and you also are indispensable. Amen. Shall we say this to our neighbor? Amen. Amen. Oh, brother, you are indispensable. Amen. Amen. Okay. B says, if we truly see our position as a member, it is as though we were saved a second time. You know, the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are saved. That is a salvation from sin. But we need to see our position as a member of the body. Then we will be saved a second time. This second time is to be saved from individualistic life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's to be saved into the body of Christ. Those who see that they are members of the body will surely treasure the body and honor the other members. Amen. You have here Judges 9:9. How do we honor the other members? The olive tree says, right? The olive tree says, I cannot leave my fatness, of which God and men are honored by me. In the Recovery Version, Noak Bradley says, the oil of the olive tree was used to honor God and men, signifying that those who walk by the Spirit honor God, and those who minister the Spirit honor men. So how do we honor our fellow members? By ministering the Spirit to them. Oh, but if you say, I don't have the Spirit, I don't have the bountiful supply, what should you do? Remember Luke 11. Pray. Ask. Amen. As we ask on behalf of the members, we get into the bountiful supply. We ourselves will be fed, and we will have the riches to feed others. Amen. Let's read D together. Wherever there is body consciousness. And wherever there is body consciousness, individualistic thought and action are rooted out. May this principle shine light on us so that all of this individualistic thought and actions are ruled out in us. Amen. If we would be built up in the body, the self must be condemned, denied, rejected, and renounced. We should be dependent not only on God and also on the body. Oh, we should always pray this prayer. Lord, Lord, I cannot live apart from you. And I cannot live without the body. Amen. What I do not know, another member of the body will know. What I cannot see, another member of the body will see. What I cannot do, another member of the body will do. Do not boast of what you can do. Oh, we should learn to boast of what I do not know. What I cannot see. What I cannot do. Why? Because what I do not know, another member will know. What I cannot see, another member will see. What I cannot do, another member will do. If we have this light, if we see this, we will treasure the body. We will honor all the members, and we will not just trust in ourselves. If we refuse the help of our fellow members, we are refusing the help of Christ. Sooner or later, all individualistic Christians will dry up. So praise the Lord, this is the principle of the members of the body. Oh, what are we? We are not individualistic Christians. We are members of the body of Christ. Bernie used this illustration, the difference between the butterfly and the honeybee. What are we? Are we butterflies or honeybees? The butterflies, they are individualistic. They fly from flower to flower, seeking their own sweet ways. But the honeybees, they work for the hive. Oh, we are not individualistic butterflies, even though beautiful. Die early. We are the bees. We can never be separated from the hive, from the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 3. As members of the body, limited by other members, not going beyond. So the third principle is the limitations of the body. When we say a limitation of the body, it doesn't mean that the body is limited. No, the body is unlimited because Christ is the one who fills all in all. So his body is extensive. But when we say limitation, it means that we as members are being limited by other members of the body. So we should keep this principle. A basic requirement for growth and development of the body is that we recognize our measure and not go beyond it. All of us has been apportioned a measure. Don't belittle yourself, don't despise yourself, and don't go beyond that measure that God has apportioned to you. The head sets us in our special place in the body, points us to our special function. Just now we said, I am indispensable. Brother, you are indispensable. Because each one of us has a special place in the body. We have a definite function in the body. And when we give a testimony, we must testify within the measure, within a certain limit. Although we expect the work to spread, we must learn how to be under God's restriction. We should not expect a spread that is without measure. Small one, if we spread the word according to the Spirit, there will always be a certain limit. Inwardly, we'll have the consciousness that there is a limit. And outwardly, the Lord will cause certain things to happen in our environment to restrict our spreading. So we need to learn to live in the limitations of the body. Like Paul, we should move and act according to how much God has measured to us. 5, in a church service, we need to realize God has measured not only so much to us, we should not overstretch ourselves. Let me conclude with one or two examples of Brother Nee himself. At the cooling training for the co-workers, Brother Nee himself said this. He said, my ministry is somewhat different from Brother Witness Lee. He can cause those who have no heart to have a heart for the Lord, who are incapable to become capable, those who are not going on to go on. I admit that I do not have what he has. Brother Nee, he was the seer of the divine revelation. And Brother Lee was his student, you might say so, right? Even his disciple, whatever. But he admits that, Brother Nee said, I admit I do not have what he, Witness Lee, has. So Brother Nee himself, he keeps this principle as a member of the body. No member is all-inclusive, but every member is indispensable. So we need to treasure the functioning of all the members of the body. And we need to see that there is a limitation to us as a member of the body of Christ. No member, as I say, is all-inclusive. One other example. He said, Watchman Nee, he said, I had a great ambition to compose a good commentary. I want to devote much time to write a large commentary consisting of 100 volumes. But eventually, he said, I realized the task of expounding the scriptures was not for me. He sees the limitation in the body. Well, eventually, who is the one that wrote that 100 volumes? We must say it's Witness Lee. So even Brother Nee, he realized his position as a member in the body. And he experienced the limitations that the Lord put on him. And he would not overstretch. Rather, as he submit himself to this limitation, the Lord has a way that is boundless. The Lord has a way to carry out his desire through all the members of the body. Praise the Lord. We see these three principles, right? The bountiful supply of the body. And then we are members of the body. And we need to learn to experience the limitations of the body so that the body can spread throughout the universe.
Amen.
In its unlimitedness. Amen.
So we will continue to share some highlight in the past Chinese New Year conference. But I won't share the whole message file because we have limited of time. I just want to share some highlight during this conference. And also, you have got this sheet. Two-page sheet, right? One is the secret of my conduct myself, serving the law and working for the law. And the other is the keeping the principle of the body. Okay. Later, I will use this as my sharing. Yesterday, while we are eating the dinner, Brother Bill said something which impressed me very much. He said, the body of Christ is something elusive. Elusive. The body refers to the space and time. So, in this regard, do you know the feeling of the saints in Ethiopia? No. Do you know the saints in India? No. Do you know the saints in Singapore? No. Then how can you say you had the feeling of the body of Christ? It's really elusive, right? But I tell you, I think of this matter many times. This is the body of Christ. And inside the body of Christ, there are many local churches. And inside the local churches, there are many three circles. What's this? This is us, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Okay. So, how does the body of Christ happen? It's elusive, but it's very practical. When our spirit is joined to the Lord, to one spirit, right? Then this part becomes Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 6:17, when this spirit comes into our spirit, he not only stays in our spirit, he also will permeate our soul, our emotion, mind, and will. Even our body. So in 1 Corinthians, after the Paul said, he who joined to the Lord is one spirit, and he continued to say, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Right? So even our body become Christ. And when every one of us become Christ, all the local churches become Christ. And if every local church become Christ, then the whole body of Christ was manifested. This is God's way. But I tell you, during this process, our tripartite being become Christ, the whole local church become Christ, the entire body of Christ become Christ, there are some principles. As we share that, the title for this message is Keeping the Principle of the Body. We say that this principle can be used as another word, law. Okay, the law or the spirit of life. Where did Paul get this word, the law or the spirit of life? No other apostles, like Apostle John or Apostle Peter, Apostle the other apostle used this word term. Only Paul used this term, the law or the spirit of life. And we say yesterday, this law is not a law in the letters for you to keep. This is a natural law. This is a scientific law. If you fulfill certain environment, certain condition, it will happen spontaneously. Where did Paul get this idea? Of course, we know that when Paul write the book of Romans, he is quite mature. It is on the third journey where he was in Corinth. He wrote the book of Romans. So, when Paul wrote the book of Romans, he has been a Christian for many years, maybe more than 30 years. And Paul was a Pharisee. You know, the Pharisee, the one who kept the law most, right? And it's very hard. Even you commit only one law, you commit the whole. So, Paul, in his personal experience, to be a Christian, for many years, he finds really hard. So at the end of chapter 7 of the book of Romans, he said, "Wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from the body of this sin and death?" He said, "Wretched man, I'm so miserable because the good I'm trying to do, I cannot make it. But the evil I do not want. This I practice." He said, "Wretched man that I am, I am the man. So hard for me." But at the beginning of Romans chapter 8, he said, thanks be to God. Those who are in Lord Jesus has no condemnation, because the law of the spirit of life has freed me from the law of death and of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Saints, I tell you, this is the greatest invention, greatest discovery in the universe. You know that nowadays, the scientist, like our brother Tony, his job is to discover the law, right? There are so many laws in the body, right? The law of circulation, the law of metabolism, the law of this and law of that. The human body are governed by the law, by the natural law. Just I said yesterday that while I took the airplane from New York to Chicago, I encountered a turbulence. I was so afraid. We scared to death because the airplane suddenly turned to the right and suddenly turned to the left and suddenly stopped on the air. Do not move. Ground speed is zero. So I asked a pilot after we landed in Rockford, I asked him, "Are you afraid?" He said, "No, I'm not afraid at all." He said, "We were trained for this." He said, "Because we know the aerodynamic law." He said, "No matter how advanced, how sophisticated the airplane is, it is all complete control. Like the modern 787 or the ancient the airplane of right age, it's all governed by the aerodynamic law. If you know this law, then you are safe." So praise the Lord. The body, the head, has a law. And also the body has a law. And this law are the same law. Okay. So, if you want to remain in the body, if you want to keep the body health, there are some laws for you to keep. 2 years ago, there was a brother from Texas, Ken Dieter, brother Ken Dieter. He gave us a seminar, right? You remember, okay? During the break time, I asked him, brother Ken, what's your profession? He said, "I study the sleeping. My expertise is to study sleep, how to make you sleep well." I said, "What is that?" He said, "There are many laws. If you keep this law, you will sleep well." He said, "First, you have to keep the light. Keep the light dim. Turn the light off. Then avoid any noise. Don't try to listen to rock music and go to sleep. It is almost impossible." He said that, and the body, this covering outside your body should be 2 degrees lower than your body temperature. 2 degrees lower. Then the fourth, the most important. He said, "This is the most important." He said, "I tell you, every cell in our human body has a clock." Clock. Every cell has a clock. If you sleep according to the clock, you got some sleep. But today, you sleep at 1 a.m., tomorrow at 10 p.m., and the other day on 4 a.m., then you're bound to be messed up in your life, right? So there's some law. Just for sleep, a good sleep has some law. So I remember that during the Chinese speaking conference, there's a student brother gave a testimony. He said, "I always sit up late, and I don't know why. I eat many nutritious food. I see so many doctors, but I don't know why my physical conditions are not so good." He said, "Until one day I changed my sleeping style. I go to bed early and wake up early, and my body become very good." Why? Fulfill the law, okay? So, How many law in the body of Christ? Please turn to this page. 20 laws. If you keep these 20 laws, you will be in the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. Is that wonderful? Amen. Okay, let's give you some short explanation, and Brother Bill want to give us some word concerning his experience in the body of Christ. Okay, we can read. Let's read the number one first. Amen. The body is one. Amen. Read it again. The body is one. How many body do you have?
One.
If your body become five pieces, what does that mean? You go to the butcher shop. You can. I want to purchase a pig head, a leg, or his intestine. What does that mean? Money, he was dead, right? So if a body been divided into several pieces, that means the body is dead. So the greatest principle of the body is that the body is one. Amen. Okay. Second, let's read together. The church as a body is absolutely anything that is not of light is not all the body. Not some saints have some artificial body, artificial organ like joint or tooth in your body. I tell you, it's not part of your body, right? So we need to be as long as. If we want to stay in the body must be a matter of life. Amen. Three, since the body of Christ is Christ, if we will be in the body, we must be made Christ. Amen. In the body, we must be made Christ. So we can see that if all the tri-type being being made Christ, then the local church will be Christ, then the holy body of Christ will be Christ. The body, the head is Christ, so also the body should be Christ. And fourthly, the function of the body is praise Christ. Amen. Although Christ is immeasurable greatness in the universe, but somehow in some people's eye, Christ is nothing. When Paul was put in the jail in Rome, in this Praetorian guard, in their eye, where's Jesus? What are you talking about? Why you want to risk your life for this person? Isn't that this Jesus being crucified? In their eye, Christ is virtually nothing. But praise the Lord, there is a person who magnifies Christ. So this Christ, he needs to be expressed. In our job, in our family, in our situation, this Christ needs to be manifested. This is the function of the body to express Christ. And five said, the reality of the body is a group of God's redeemed who has been made God, the God-man by God, and who is not lived by themselves, but by another life, which is the process and the consummated triune God. Okay. Christ, the Lord Jesus, he was sinless, but he did not live to his own life. He lived to God. So this becomes a pattern. The body of Christ is a group of people. No matter how nice you are, no matter how lovely you are, no matter how patient you are, you do not lead to your natural life, but you lead to God. And this group of living is the reality of the body of Christ. Amen. I don't need to explain each one of them. Let's read number eight. The work of the cross consummated with the body and usher in the brain. Many the Christians, they suffer. They thought that they experience cross. So they saw that after they experience cross, they become a spiritual giant. No. The more you experience the cross of Christ, the more you are more easy to get along because you are put into the body of Christ. One time the brother told me that a certain brother, catch a big fish and bring it to Brother Lee's home. And do you know what the Brother Lee said? He doesn't say, Brother, don't you know I'm so busy to prepare the outline? How come do you not bother me with this kind of thing? Right? No, brother, they say, wow, a big fish. Brother, come on. Let's study how to clean up the fish and how to prepare the fish and let it eat the fish together. This is brotherly. This is a person in the body who are so easy to get along, who are so easy to deal with. This is the person who experienced Christ, and the result is to usher him into the body of Christ. Amen. Okay, 9, read together. If we will understand and enter into the body of Christ, we will serve in the authority. There is something in the body called the authority. You touch the body, you touch the authority. If you do not have authority, that means you do not in the reality of the body of Christ. If the head said, hand, take this, and the hand do not want to obey the authority, then what kind of body is this, right? If the head said to the feet, go there, but the feet said, I do not want to go there, then what kind of person it is? There must be some mental problem, right? So, when you touch the body, there is something called the authority. Amen. Okay, 11. We need to care for the feeling of the body and the peace of the body. Amen. We need to care for the feeling of the body. As usual, before the conference, Brother Ron, Kangas, he also gave a co-worker some review for the message. But this time, he told us, somehow he do not have the burden to review this message for us. But he do not act independently. He checked with his companion, Brother Ed Mark. He said, Brother Ed, I don't feel had a feeling to share this message to co-workers. How do you feel? Brother Ed Mark said, you still should share this message. So he listened to the feeling of the body. I feel so precious, so protected that in the body of Christ, they are a group of brothers who want to obey the body and care for the feeling of the body. Amen. 10 say the spirituality is a body matter. Okay. If you become more spiritual, the more you will bring into the body. I remember when I was a student, we always attending the conference and training. So I noticed that there's a certain sister. When the brothers share the message, he took note. He's diligent to take note. He write down every the important utterance. But when the saints begin to share it, he began to read her Bible. What does that mean? That means she feel that it's waste time. To listen to the brothers sharing, he get something. He receives something, but listen to the sense of the sharing, nothing. I tell you, this is not the genuine spirituality. The more you are in the body, the more spiritual you are, the more you are bring into the reality of the body of Christ. When Brother Lee just went to Taiwan, to practice the God of them way. I remember the first elders meeting is last for 3 hours. Because Brother Lee asked every church get the number, give the situation of the church, and there are more than 100 churches in Taiwan at that time. So you can see how long he spent during that meeting. And I noticed that many leading brothers, when they give out their report, they just have the heart to listen, because some things are more very tedious, some things are more very minor, but some brothers, they just keep talking. But I noticed that Brother Wednesday, from the beginning, for the first meeting until the end, he listened carefully, every church, large or small, big city or in the village, he listened every one of them. He is the one who cared for the feeling of the body. Amen. Okay, 13, let's read together. The supply of the body, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ is typified by the compound ointment, the holy omen oil. Amen. The bountiful supply is from the body. This time I went to California to attend the Chinese King Conference and I got sick because Southern California is colder than Chicago. Right? Because most room do not have a radiator. It's very cold. You just wear a jacket and you feel, how long I want to back to Chicago? It's warm, right? Everywhere is warm. So I catch cold. So to a certain point of time, I'm wondering, could I make it this weekend? But no, there are some saints pray for me. So yesterday, I make it, and this morning, I make it. Why? Not because I'm strong. It is because through your petition, and through your petition, there is a bountiful supply from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. So since sometimes we feel that, I'm so weak. I don't have the faith to come to the meeting. If I want to come to the meeting, I must be very strong. I'm in the spirit. I'm strong in my spirit. And I can share. I can testify. Then I have the faith to come to the meeting. That's wrong. The more weak you are, I'm so tired. I'm so failure this week. The more you come to the meeting, and you receive the supply from the body. This is the secret of the Christian. The secret of Christian do not overcome by ourselves. The secret of Christian is through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I don't want to take hold. Just 17. Amen. Let's read 17. Amen. The body. Amen. Okay. So, if you look at the back page for this one, it is the sharing of Brother Wenis Lee with his family members in 1996, 1 year before he went to be with the Lord. And there is a very important principle in his sharing, is that if you say you know the body, then you must know the order in the body. This is not the hierarchy. This is the order according to life. Okay. So this is the page I want to let you know that, please keep it. This is very precious. Brother Lee, before he went to be with the Lord, he gave some sharing with his family member, his son, grandson, great-grandson, about how do he conduct himself serving the Lord and working for the Lord. It's very precious. So we have 10 minutes left. Bill has some burden to give us some practical experience of how he knows the reality of the body of Christ.
Okay, on the last item on the Thanksgiving Day conference principles, it says we should always consider the body, and then there's a typo. It says careful the body. It should be cared for the body, honor the body, and do what is best for the body. And sometimes, you know, we think we know what is best for the body. That's when we have fellowship with others. And the testimony I want to give you is these last 40 odd years in Chicago, Jim Rieske and I spent a lot of time. We didn't have to spend a lot of time, but we always kept in touch with one another. He knew where I was, probably spiritually and practically. And I knew where he was. He was my older brother. I regarded him, and we did nothing apart from each other. Yes, there were other brothers in the coordination, but we did have certain special time together where I was built up with him. And how that happened was by the Lord's arrangement. When I was in New York, I never thought I'd be in Chicago. I never even wanted to be in Chicago. All I heard about Chicago was not very good. It was always negative, you know, Al Capone and the history. And people always, when they came to Chicago, were very surprised. That's not the real Chicago. It's people like you and I. And the church is made up of people like you and I. I think in the 1 Corinthians 12, it spells out verse 27. The body is made up of many members.
Amen.
I like the King James Version. The Recovery Version is the right one, but I like the King James. It says, instead of individual Christians, individual members, it says members in particular. So I always like that because we are particular members, each one, and each one has some for the Lord needing to do more work on us. And so that comes about by being related to someone else in the church. So we don't move in taking care of number 20. Don't think you know how the body feels. It requires a little more fellowship, generally speaking. And even then, you don't necessarily get the right answer because we are loath. Do you understand that word? We don't care to always tell people what we think they should do. We sometimes say amen because we know they want to do what they want to do. And Brother Lee practiced that quite a bit, if you want to take a particular person. Quite often he said, pray. If Brother Lee said, pray, that means he doesn't agree. No, it didn't mean that. He just meant pray and get clear before the Lord and whatever the sense is. So these principles are ones we need to take to the Lord and with one another. But sometimes we don't give you our true feeling because we know it's only going to frustrate you. You already have your mind made up what you're going to do. The personal example was, in the beginning, for me, I had a mental view of the Lord from a youngster. I mean, what age? Maybe 3 or 4 years old. But it came a stage where I said, Lord, what is the meaning of my life, personally? And then I got saved, and then I said, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? I was a young man, 17, when I got captured by the Lord in the Euston Station in London, heading home to attend, I thought, my brother's funeral. Some of you heard that story. I'll let it go there. But that's where the Lord said, okay, pay attention. Now I'm getting your attention. Your 20-year-old brother is not going to meet you in London as we designed when I got off a trip. They're actually right now preparing for his funeral. It could be yours. You're only 17, but what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And so it caused me to really look to the Lord. A few years later, by the Lord's arrangement, I end up in the church in New York. And I had the feeling I'd spend my whole life in New York. Why? Because we felt that way. The Lord put me here, I should remain here. But circumstances changed, and I ended up in New England. And we knew Brother Lee from those early days. And he came to New England where my wife and I were, and he had given us a name and an address of a couple there, and it ended up there was a church life there. And it was wonderful. It was like we'd gone to heaven. It was out in the country. We had a mini farm, and we had fellowship. We had the saints. We had a testimony. And we thought, wow, this is a place I'd like to spend the rest of my life. And we'll preach the gospel and get these New Englanders, tough Yankees, saved. And they have the church life all over. Well, Brother Lee came by. You know the first thing he said to me? What are you doing here? He already knew what I was doing there. We'd written him a letter, or he knew why we were there. And we have his response. I still have it. He said, what are you doing here? Then we had a conference in Erie where the migrations got more impetus to take part when Jim came from the West Coast and Betty to Chicago for the Lord's testimony, and others went to other places. I ended up going to Akron, Ohio. Long story, I'm not going to get into it. We don't have time. I still want to get you out of here by 12:30. So Brother Lee comes there, see me, he says, Bill, what are you doing here? You see? And I didn't have the heart to say, Brother Lee, what do you think? Because he might tell me something else. Think about it. This is our human case. He might say, yeah, you're right. Maybe you should be in the West Coast and be under my training for a while. Probably that was what he would have said. You know, I already knew that, so I didn't ask him. Then later, a few of we had a large number in Akron, and a few of us went back and resurrected or regained the table in Cleveland. And there, so that was a matter in Ohio. It was 4 years. And then the company which I'd left asked me if I'd come back and take care of a special project there. So again, another long story. If you live a long time, you have lots of stories. So, but these are all connected to the Lord's leading. So this time I called Brother Lee and say, I got this question to go to Chicago. And of course I knew Jim, they'd come to Akron quite often when Brother Lee came in those early days. And I said, they're asking me to go to Chicago. Brother Lee, what do you think? Pray. Oh, that means no. Based on what other people said. But in my spirit, I had the sense, amen, pray. So we prayed. So January 1974, I came to Chicago. And I said, praise the Lord, I'm relieved of all responsibility. Because I had a lot of responsibility in Ohio. And grew up with some responsibility in New York. And in New England, that was a break. That was heaven. I had no responsibility, and the brother there didn't want me to have any. So, amen. It was a one-man show. So, that's a little bit of the experience. When I came to Chicago, Brother Lee never asked me again, what am I doing here? He did say to me, how's your time? Every time you say, Bill, how's your time? Oh, Lord, I was still working for Pharaoh. So, I took an early retirement. And Brother Lee never asked me again then about how's my time. Well, this is serious, brothers. We spent this weekend concerning the body. And I think we all have to consider these things. And someone may say something to us by Lord's anointing. You know, it happened in this case to be a specific brother. But he was a brother I grew to respect very much. I didn't know him from Adam when I touched the church life and the Lord's recovery back in Scotland. Most people realize it never touched there. But Brother Need did have fellowship with Brother Sparks, and there were many there who were meeting as the Lord's testimony in certain places. They wouldn't take the name, the church in this place or that place. Why? But no one, you couldn't register as that, and you can't do that in some other parts of the world. So they met as the Lord's testimony. But meeting the Lord's testimony, we are all members. Amen. Amen? I know we don't have any time for testimonies today, but tell your neighbor, amen.
Amen.
We're all members and individuals, but with a particular purpose the Lord has, that we all would be one, John 17. That's what motivated me, was John 17, the Lord's Prayer, that they all may be one, and that the Lord would gain his recovery, would gain getting the saints together as one. Amen. So that he'd have the bride and could come back. So you want to bring the Lord back? Take care of the body and the body life. And be related to one to the other. Amen. There's no member that's indispensable. And you'll find as you get older, certain things will happen. And you realize you need all the members and all the elements of your body. And they're myriad. All the connections, if they get one gets loose, other things can go. And you understand that. If you don't now, you will later in life. So with that, saints, we're so happy we had the brothers here, to the Lord's servants, to also give us some idea last night of their labor in translating the ministry from our brothers Nee and Lee and however else the Lord has spoken to us over these many years. We have been blessed. I still miss Brother Jim. You do too. Just his being here was a big comfort to all of us. And so we have to follow his example. Take care of the Lord's interests in the body.
Amen.
And according to our measure. We don't have time to go back over again. I've gone a minute over. So at this point, just turn to your neighbor and have a little 30-second prayer concerning what the Lord has spoken to us these two days. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our brothers and for one another. Amen.